Good morning, friends and neighbors. This is Pastor and Bible teacher Craig Heilman, welcoming you to another edition of Study His Word Radio. Welcome this morning, and one of the things, I've been on this radio station here since mid-April, and one of the things that I wanted to do was have a show where we did Bible study, and we talked about current news relating to the church, and we interviewed people of faith. And in the short time that I've been on, we've done that. We've had three or four interviews, and we've talked about some news, and we've always done a Bible study. One of the things I thought was I wasn't going to get involved in political discussions or hot topics of the day. Most of the hot topics of the day really aren't related to the church, and I wasn't going to get involved in those. But I feel that it's time for me to speak out. There has the situation with the COVID virus is such, it's become a very hot topic, and it's become very divisive, and it's all we hear. Unfortunately, it seems to take up a large part of the news and daily life. So I felt like today I had to weigh in on some things. Originally, I started thinking about this about 2 weeks ago, and originally I thought, well, I'm going to do a show where all I'm going to do is talk about the facts and talk about the science and talk about statistics. And I'm going to let people make their own decisions. Because that's one of the things that has been lacking in this discussion is science and facts and numbers. But I've decided that I'm going to have to throw in my opinion here and there. One of the things that is happening that is concerning to me is that if you speak against what is the current narrative, you are shut down, you are labeled a lunatic, or something along that line. For instance, the early on in COVID, there were a number of doctors treating COVID with hydroxychloroquine. And although it wasn't, quote, approved for COVID treatment, it's a drug that's been around for over 75 years, and it's been successful in treating many things. But the doctors who had success treating with hydroxychloroquine were ridiculed. They were shut down. If their videos were on YouTube, they were pulled off. It's been the same way with masking. If you speak out against masking, or if you speak out questioning the science, you are shut down. The vaccine, it's the same way. Whatever happened to healthy discussion? Whatever happened to questioning, just questioning one side? Whatever happened to that? I don't know what's gone to happen to it, but it doesn't seem we can do that anymore. Just to give you an example, there was a Dr. Stock, who is a family doctor, and his training is in immunology. And he did a presentation at the Mount Vernon School Board a week ago. And a video of him, the video contained about 7 minutes. It was put up on YouTube. But because he said some things that were contrary to the current narrative, it was pulled off of YouTube, and it was removed for violating community guidelines. And unfortunately, that's what is currently happening in society today. if what you say is not the current narrative, you are canceled. You are pulled off of YouTube. You are pulled off of Facebook. You are put in, suspended on Facebook. And I think this is very dangerous. When a society has only one side of the discussion and the other side is silenced, this is called communism. It used to be we could disagree and we could still be friends. Now it seems it's my way or you're canceled. So I wanted to have a little discussion about some things that have to do with COVID. And I don't know how much of it I'll get to today, but we'll get started. We'll see. Let's start with vaccinations. Excuse me. Currently, we are told that Ohio is right at 51% of a one-dose vaccination. 51% vaccinated with one dose and 47% vaccinated fully. That's just under 6 million people. There's a problem with this. That is only 87% of the population is eligible for the vaccine. If you're under the age of 12, you are not eligible for the vaccine. So when we talk about vaccination, we need to talk about what percentage of the eligible population is vaccinated. We cannot talk about what percent of the entire population is vaccinated. That's a little bit misleading. When we talk about vaccine and we talk about those that aren't vaccinated, it's always, what can we do? Why aren't they getting vaccinated? How can we convince them to get vaccinated? Well, this pertains only to the vaccinated population. So, I will give President Biden credit on this, because he several times has said his goal was to get 70% of the eligible population vaccinated. There have been multiple times where he has stated this. You don't hear that from the state of Ohio, and you don't hear that from local health officials. They always talk in terms of the total population. So while I'm on this subject, let's get started with the real numbers. 87% is eligible. So what that means is that 58.4% of the eligible population has started the vaccine. Again, 58.4% of the eligible population has started the vaccine. And by the way, it's only been in the last 2 days that the state of Ohio on their website is actually showing this as a different percentage. They've actually started to show the percentage that is eligible. Now, let's look at Marion County. Marion County, it states on their website, the vaccine has been started for 41% of the population. Again, they don't show eligible population, it's total population. So if we look at what percentage of the eligible population is, it would be 47.5%. 47.5%. So we're talking 58.4% for Ohio and 47.5% for Marion County. Now, on the subject of vaccinations, we are a divided people. We are divided into two groups, vaccinated and unvaccinated. That's all you hear, that this percent, that percent vaccinated, and this is the unvaccinated, and how are we going to get the unvaccinated to get vaccinated? That's all you hear. Vaccinated, unvaccinated. Vaccinated, unvaccinated. But there is a third group out there that's always left out of the discussion. That's people who have had COVID and recovered from it. Again, I say, that's people who have had COVID and are recovered from it. These people have a natural immunity and do not, I repeat, they do not need the vaccine. Their immunity is the same as the vaccinated. Now, some scientists say that, some immunologists say, that natural immunity actually provides you better protection against the variant. I could not find anything conclusive to say that. So that's been flown out there, but I'm not going to run with it. So we just go with the immunologist that your immunity is the same as a vaccinated person. Now, in the state of Ohio, 1.1 million cases of COVID. That means there are 1.1 million people that have had COVID and recovered from it, and they have natural immunity. That's 10% of the population. This is consistent with our national figures, about 34 million people, roughly 10% of the population, has had COVID and has recovered from it. Now, according to the Centers for Disease Control, they say that it's probably 30% of the population. They say for that 10%, every one person who has had COVID has come in contact and infected two other people. How they come up with that number, I don't know, but I'm willing to accept that from the Centers for Disease Control. I think we also must, part of that is, it would include people who were asymptomatic, in other words, they never knew they had it, and also that includes people had it, but they didn't go to the doctor or they weren't tested. I mean, let's face it, not everyone who has an illness goes to the doctor or gets tested. I'm one of those people. Most of the time when I have an illness or I've got what I think is a flu, I don't go to the doctor. The only time I've done that recently is when I had COVID and I was positive and I did go to the doctor. So anyhow, that's a significant number, but it's constantly left out of the discussion. All you hear is if you're unvaccinated, you're at risk. How many times have you heard that? If you're unvaccinated, you're at risk. They do not consider natural immunity at all. And that's quite frustrating for someone like myself. I had COVID, I recovered from it, and I'm not considered part of the discussion. I don't have a need to get vaccinated. There is no benefit to myself getting vaccinated. There's no benefit to any of the people who've had it to getting vaccinated. But yet, we're lumped into the group of the unvaccinated people. Just to show you that we don't exist, look at what's happening now. There are public events, concerts that are gearing up, and they've already announced several things that in order to attend, you must show proof of vaccination. There are certain job situations where deadlines have been set. Workers have to be vaccinated or risk losing their jobs. Now, there's, in some cases, there are religious exemptions and there are health exemptions, but there's no provision for natural immunity. There's no exemptions being made for natural immunity. So let's talk about these numbers when they want to divide us into vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So let's talk about why the people are not getting vaccinated. It's a question of who they are and why they're not getting vaccinated. Now, many times I've heard this, I've heard it right here, that people who aren't getting vaccinated, well, that's because they're Republicans, or that's because they're Trump voters, and it's the most common thing you hear. But it's really not quite that simple. There are actually many reasons. Let's look at some of them here. I mentioned earlier, you if you've had COVID, you don't need to get vaccinated. And the number of people that have had it, it's somewhere between 10 and 30%. That's the 10% that are tested positive that we know, and it's as high as 30% according to the CDC. So many of these people, like myself, who had it, know they've had it, made a decision not to get vaccinated. It would be, quite honestly, it would be a waste of the vaccine for me to get vaccinated. So that's one reason. There's no incentive that they can put out there, no coercing that they can do that's going to make me go get a vaccine. I simply don't need to. Reason number two, certain people don't see COVID as that big of a threat. And I think if you look at the statistics, we'll find out some very interesting things. Bear with me on this, because when you read a number of statistics, it doesn't always go well on radio. If it was TV, I could put these numbers up and you could see them in front of you. But radio, it doesn't quite work that way. So kind of bear with me, and we'll trudge through the numbers, and we'll get to see what it is that why certain people don't see it as a threat. All right. If we break it down by age group of the people that are vaccinated, 0 to 19 is 15%. Now, understand that two-thirds of that group isn't even eligible in the first place. So keep that in mind, but it's 15.4%. 20 to 29 is 43%. 30 to 39 is 51%. 40 to 49 is 56%. And it gradually increases in every age group till up into, you get to 70 to 74 is 86%. 75 to 79 is 82%. And over age 80 is 80%. You can see that the lowest vaccination rates are in the youngest people. The highest vaccination rates is in the elderly. And this makes sense. It is viewed as a threat. Very realistically, the older you get, the more likely you are to get it, the more likely you are to be hospitalized, and the more likely you are to die. And therefore, those people have the highest vaccination rates. Look at the lowest rates. Therein are, really, the lowest vaccination rates are in our under 40-year-old. It's not surprising. Those are the ones that, one, they didn't get it as often. Many of them were asymptomatic, and so they don't view it as a threat. It's not seen as a real threat. Let me just give you the numbers on the deaths for those same age groups. 0 to 19, okay? In the state of Ohio, we've had over 20,000 people die from COVID, okay? 20,000 people die. 0 to 19, that age group has seen 7 deaths. That is not a measurable percent. In the 20 to 29-year-old, they have seen 31 deaths. Again, it's not a measurable percentage. The age group 30 to 39, they have seen 126 deaths, barely 1%. And in 40 to 49, there have been 332 deaths, barely 2%. Now, on the other end, if you look at the 70 to 79-year-olds, there were 5,511 deaths, 27%. And in the over 80, there were 10,321. That's 50% of all deaths were in that age group. Again, 50% of all deaths were in the 80 and over. And if you just add in the 70 to 79, you could say that of the COVID deaths, 77% were in people age 70 to 79. So it's understandable that the lowest rate of vaccination is going to be in those people under 40. They probably don't even know anyone of their age group that died. They probably didn't have COVID, or if they had COVID, they were asymptomatic and didn't know it. And so their thinking is, it's really not that much of a threat to me. Only the very old are vulnerable, and they had the highest vaccination rates. The young, not vulnerable, very few did not have it. They've got the lowest. They don't see nearly the risk. Now, I realize they don't see the risk to them. They can have it, either knowingly or unknowingly, and they can pass it on to an older individual. That's a very real possibility. But you must understand that from the point of whether or not to get vaccinated, they don't see it as a threat to them. Consequently, they have low rates. Now, there's a third reason people don't get vaccinated. They don't trust the government. Let's look at a couple statistics. The Asian population of Ohio has a 66.3% vaccination rate. The white population in Ohio had a 47.4% vaccination rate. And the black and African American population has a 34.8% vaccination rate. You must ask yourself, why are the blacks and the African Americans only at 34.8%? And by the way, I might mention that when the people want to just throw out, well, it's because they're Republicans, or, well, they're not getting vaccinated because they're Trump supporters, the blacks and African Americans are roughly 80% Democrat and voted for Trump, voted for Biden. So that doesn't hold water in this situation. So the question again is, why is their numbers so low? You ask black Americans, if they're not vaccinated, why are they not vaccinated? And the number one reason is, they'll say to you, the Tuskegee study. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with what the Tuskegee study was. But if you're not familiar with it, let me tell you about it briefly. Back in the early 1900s, they took a group of of black men. It was 500 and some odd number. I don't remember the exact number. It was about 500 and some odd men and had syphilis. And what they did was they got them to take this study where they were going to study the effects of syphilis. The problem is they were going to study the effects of syphilis on an untreated individual. And these men were not told that they weren't going to be treated. They were told many things, but that's one of the things they were not told. And they were given, quote, medicine, which wasn't, in order to study. And so the long-term effects of that were that many men suffered greatly from the disease of syphilis at the hands of the government, who was, quote, studying the long-term effects. Basically, it boils down to is they were not told the truth, and they were essentially lied to. So it's very common in the black and African-American community to not trust the government on certain things, something especially like a vaccine. They've been down that road before, and they don't want to be a guinea pig again. Incidentally, the Asian population, as I mentioned, was 66.3%. There was a separate, totally separate poll from this. It had nothing to do with COVID. But it was a poll about the level of trust for government that people had. And one group that scored the highest in trusting the government is the Asian population. So draw your own conclusions there as far as their reason for a high percentage rate. Number four reason that people aren't getting vaccinated: safety and side effects. Now, we've been told that it's perfectly safe vaccine, It had 90-some percent efficacy in clinical studies and minimal side effects. So it comes out on the market. And the thing about it is it is not FDA approved. It was approved for emergency operations, but it did not receive full FDA approval. And that has to do with the fact that the time of the studies wasn't long enough to determine the long-term effects. So that's why it received emergency authorization only. In order to get the FDA approval, it must be much more time must be involved in the studies. So many people don't feel comfortable, don't feel safe. First, it hasn't been around long enough to get the FDA approval. It has not been around long enough to study the long-term effects, and therefore people are feeling very safe. Side effects. The Johnson & Johnson was pulled off the market when they had 7 or 8 women develop blood clots. And it actually ended up being about 1,000 reported. I take that back. It was about 28 cases that were reported. But the problem was, and in 28 cases out of hundreds of thousands of vaccines, and then eventually millions, they were able to get it back on the market. But it got a lot of press. And so people had this image in their mind that, Johnson & Johnson it's got side effects. Now, there's also the issue of cases of myocarditis, and also pericarditis. What that is it's inflammation of the heart muscle and the heart wall. Now, according to the CDC, there have been a little over 1,000 cases of myocarditis reported. This is small when you consider that 170 million doses have been administered. 1,000 cases, 170 million doses administered. But, again, it's gotten a lot of press. It's out there, and it's because it's gotten press and people hear about it, it raises questions in their mind. Another thing about that is it's mostly in young people. So if you're a young person, you ask yourself, which is a bigger threat, COVID or the vaccine? That would be a real concern. Also, too, we don't know the long-term effects of the vaccine when it comes to the myocarditis. So these are four major reasons why the people aren't getting vaccinated, and there are others. They could be against it for religious or other reasons. And there is a political aspect to it. The Democrats, there are some Democrats who don't trust the vaccine because it was developed under President Trump. Likewise, there are some Republicans who don't trust the vaccine, who don't want the vaccine because they see it as an infringement on freedom of choice. They don't want to take something that they don't have to. So all of these people are going to be hard to change their minds. These people these are firm reasons. These people are not going to change their mind just because you offer them money, or you offer them vacation, or you offer them tickets to a ball game, or any of the other number of schemes that have been out there to get the numbers up. The Vax-a-Million, it was announced on May 12th. And at that time, May 12th, the day that it was announced, the vaccination rate had dropped for a month or two, and it was slowly declining. It was at the rate of, for instance, on May 12th, it was 14,880 new people had started the vaccination. Now, when they announced Vax-a-Million, for 2 weeks, there was an increase of roughly 50 to 100%. In other words, the numbers jumped up around 20,000, 22,000, 24,000, 19,000. For 2 weeks, there was this increase. But by the end of May, the levels had dropped down to where they were before the announcement, and they had dropped steadily after that. Now, there was a report a couple of days ago that a study was done, and they feel that Vax-a-Million gave them an additional 100,000 people during that two-week period. And my question is, were those people going to get vaccinated anyway? And in the overall scheme of things, 100,000 Ohioans is roughly 1% of the population. So even if you say that, okay, those 100,000 people wouldn't have gotten vaccinated, but they decided to get vaccinated for Vax-a-Million, All it did was increase the vaccinations 1%. Now, in the last 3 weeks, we have seen a slow and steady rise to the vaccination rate, which is now back to the level of early May. However, it's not a significant amount of people, as it takes approximately 2 weeks to get a 1% of the population vaccinated. Or in other words, at the level that we're getting vaccinated now, it takes 2 weeks to get 1% of the population. So we're seeing what one of the things that's happening is that you must show proof of vaccination to, as I mentioned earlier, to attend concerts, to go on a cruise, to get or maintain certain job. Now, I know some of you are going to call me an extremist, but this sounds like East Germany in about 1967. Let me see your papers. That's what we're getting to. We're getting to the point where certain things you cannot do unless you have proof of vaccination. So I don't really think it's a good idea. And I think this is another one of your freedoms that's slowly being taken away. A little bit of time. It's incrementalism. It's gradual, and you don't notice it. You only notice it if it's in an area that affects you. For instance, I remember when I was growing up, you could smoke in a restaurant, smoke in public, you could smoke anywhere. Now, you can't smoke in a restaurant, you can't smoke in bars, you can't smoke in public buildings. Almost everywhere you go is non-smoking. It's gradual, but our freedoms are being slowly taken away. Now, I know some people have said, as far as vaccines or as far as the mask, and that's a whole nother topic, but they've said, well, come on, it's only a mask, you know, you gotta wear it, it's for everybody's good. Well, it's everything that we are getting to is for everybody's good. It's always to save lives. Safety and health. We look to the government to make things safer for us. And, you know, why shouldn't we? You know, it's for the good. Well, one of the things we have to realize is we don't save lives. I'll say that again. We don't save lives. All we do is we delay death. Think about it. Every single person on this planet dies someday. We cannot save lives. As hard as we try, as long as we put off death, we don't save anybody's life. So what's happening is we're looking to government to make our life a little bit longer, a little bit better. At what expense? At the expense of your freedoms, at the expense of your choice, at the expense of all those things. You know, it's kind of interesting. I'm not going to have time today to get into it, but the masking. But it's kind of interesting. There, people say, why are you so against masking, but yet they're the same people that it's my body, my choice if it comes to abortion. They certainly don't want you to tell what to do with their body for abortion, but they don't understand why you object to a mask. Masks and vaccines. What happened to my body, my choice? Okay, well, I've got a little bit of time left. I'm going to try and cover this. The vaccine. First of all, it's not a true vaccine. A vaccine, true vaccine, polio vaccine. You get the vaccine once, and you're good for life. If we don't get a booster every year, you only get it once. You're good for life. Tetanus shot. Now, you get a tetanus shot, and you're supposed to get a booster every 5 years. But there's a major study that was done. It involved 120 countries involving millions of people, and they actually have found that there's no difference in the incidence of tetanus when you've only had one shot versus if you had your boosters. In other words, if you only had one and your boosters, you never had them, you do not have a higher rate of tetanus. But anyway, I'm running out of time. So the vaccine, it's not really a vaccine. Why do you think the flu shot is called a flu shot? It's not called a flu vaccine, because you got to get a flu shot every year. And flu's always been around, always will be around, hasn't been eliminated. Colds, same thing. It's always been around, always will be around. And it's going to be the same with COVID. It's a form of the flu. As a matter of fact, the actual name of COVID is SARS-CoV-2. Does that sound familiar? Remember back a few years ago when the SARS was around? Well, that's all COVID is. It's a form of the SARS virus. They have been circulating. They will continue to circulate. And you're going to always have COVID here. With these numbers that you're seeing, 3 years from now, we'll have positive cases for COVID. It's going to be around. And you could get a flu shot and hope that it's the right flu shot and hope that you don't get the flu, or hope that you get the flu but it's mild. But every year, that's what we go through, and we're going to go through it again with COVID. It doesn't go away. And unfortunately, we were misled. We were misled in the beginning by people who said, if we just get the vaccine, we can knock out this disease. If we just get the vaccine, we'll knock out this disease. But unfortunately, COVID's like any other form of the flu. You cannot eliminate it. It doesn't go away. It's going to be around every year. So in the remaining time that I have left, I just want to thank you for being here today. And thank you for letting me talk a little bit. You can visit me at the website, which is studyhiswordradio.org. Again, that's studyhiswordradio.org. And comment. I'd love to hear your comments. I'd love to hear your comments on the COVID vaccine. I might share some of them next week. You can call me crazy. You can call me whatever you want. But I think I tried to present to you today facts and figures. I did throw in my opinion, but I tried to present you facts and figures that you don't always get. So contact us at our website for past shows where all you want to do is Bible study and you don't care about what's going on. Go to WWGH107.1. .com, and you can listen to past shows. Now, I'm going to leave you with one thought. Okay? As I said, we're looking for government to save our lives, make us safe and health. Ben Franklin, said something one time. Ben Franklin said, "A people who will trade their freedom for security deserve neither." Think about that. A people who trade their security or their freedom for security deserve neither. Think about that this week. I'll see you next week. Thanks for being here.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics.